Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
When the people in Jerusalem were carried off into captivity, into the land of Babylon, among those people was a young man who was perhaps 25 years old. A man by the name of Ezekiel. And Ezekiel would spend the rest of his life as a captive in that land. But Ezekiel was also a prophet of God. He was a man whom God had chosen, a man whom God had appointed to speak for him. Even in the worst of times, even in the worst of circumstances, God still has a witness. He has not left himself without a witness, without a testimony, without a voice crying in the wilderness. And in the book of Ezekiel, in Ezekiel chapter 3 and in chapter 33, the Lord calls Ezekiel a watchman, Safat in Hebrew. One who was stationed on a tower, on the wall of a city, and who had the responsibility of looking for an invading army in the distance. An army that was approaching that city in order to destroy it. And so Ezekiel was to be like that watchman. He was to sound the trumpet. He was to warn his people, his fellow exiles, of the judgment of God because of their rebellion against him. And even though they were in captivity because of their sin, their hearts were still hardened towards the Lord. They were hardened to his word. And so, it was Ezekiel's job to speak to his people, to tell them that they needed to turn away from their wickedness, and they needed to turn back to the Lord, or else he would bring judgment down upon them. They would bring judgment down upon themselves. And it was the responsibility of Ezekiel to faithfully warn the people of this coming danger. But the Lord said to him that if the people will not listen to your words, if they choose to ignore what you have to say, words that have been given to you from me, then they will be responsible for their own destruction. But if you fail to warn them, they will surely perish, but you will bear the responsibility for their death, since you did not warn them. Well, this should speak to our hearts, shouldn't it? It is our responsibility as those who belong to Jesus Christ to sound the trumpet, to warn those around us of the coming judgment, the judgment of God, to let the people know that there is hope, that there is forgiveness available in Jesus Christ. And it is this sense of urgency that we find in the early church. As men like Paul and Barnabas risked their lives for the name of Jesus Christ, they gave up everything. They gave up everything in order to stand on that watchtower and to sound the trumpet, to sound the alarm. And that responsibility has not changed today. It is still our responsibility. It should be our passion to sound the trumpet for Jesus Christ. And in Acts chapter 15, we find this illustrated, where we find two men of God, Paul and Barnabas, ministering to the people in the church in the city of Syrian Antioch, a city near the eastern coast of the Mediterranean Sea, in a church that they shepherded for a number of years, the place from which they had been sent out by the Lord in order to reach the people on the island of Cyprus and in the province of Galatia. And Paul and Barnabas had a long history of ministering together, didn't they? They were friends. They were brothers in Christ. They were co-laborers who had faced life-threatening situations together for the sake of the gospel. So, there was a strong bond between these two men. And so we are told in verse 36 of Acts chapter 15, that after some days, after several months, after their return to Antioch from Jerusalem, as they were teaching and they were preaching in Antioch, helping the believers there to become stronger, it says that Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brethren in every city on Cyprus and in Galatia, in all of the places in which we proclaimed the word of God together. And let us see for ourselves how they are doing." Like a loving father, Paul wanted to make sure that his spiritual children were well as they lived out their faith in the midst of a hostile and a wicked environment. Paul had a heart. He had a passion for people, a love that the Lord had put in his heart. And without that kind of love, the watchman for Christ will grow weary and he will faint. For it is the love of Christ that moves us forward. It is his love that drives us on and keeps us committed to the task before us. And the fellow worker of Paul, Barnabas, was in agreement with him. He wanted to go as well, but it says in verse 37, he was desirous, bulamai in Greek. He kept making a case, firm, unbending in his insistence of taking John, who was also called Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, taking him along with them also as their fellow worker. But, we're told, Paul could not forget the last time that John Mark was with them, laboring together in the work of the Lord. So it says in verse 38, Paul kept insisting. Axeo, he was confident that it was not right, that it wasn't appropriate, that it wasn't wise. He firmly believed that they should not take him along with them. This man, John Mark, who had deserted them, it says, aphistemi, who had quit when things got too difficult in that marshy, mosquito-infested swampland in the province of Pamphylia on the southern coast of Asia Minor. That was still fresh in the mind of Paul. That it was there that John Mark had not gone with them to the work of the Lord that was before them in the province of Galatia. But instead, he withdrew from the mission. He ran away from his responsibility. And he sailed all the way back home to Jerusalem. He failed. Just as many of us have failed along the way. But at this point, Paul was reluctant to trust him again. What if things became difficult as they would become difficult? Could they really count on John Mark to stand firm under that kind of pressure? But Barnabas was willing to give him another opportunity. Another opportunity to serve the Lord. But Paul was not willing at all. And so, after much discussion, we are told in verse 39, there arose a sharp disagreement. Paroxysmos in Greek. There was a falling out between them, between these two men of God. There was nothing but irritation between them, nothing but anger, nothing but an outpouring of emotion. To such a degree, we're told, that they separated from one another. Apokorizo in Greek. They split apart. Their relationship dissolved. There was no harmony. There was no unity. There was really nothing of value between these two men anymore. Certainly a sad situation when that happens to men and women in the work of the Lord. And perhaps with great sorrow and with heaviness of heart, we are told that Barnabas took John Mark with him, and they sailed away to Cyprus, where John Mark had ministered with Paul and Barnabas once before. So, we're told, Paul chose another man to go with him. We're told he chose Silas to take the place of Barnabas. Well, now, Silas was also a man known as Silvanus. He was a leader in the church in Jerusalem. We're told he was a man of integrity, well thought of by those in the church. And Silas came from a Jewish background. So perhaps he could be of value in reaching the unbelieving Jews with the message of salvation. But Silas was also a Roman citizen. So perhaps he could be of value in reaching the unbelieving Gentiles as well. But more importantly, we are told he was a prophet. He was a man who was led by the Spirit of God. We are told he spoke the word of God. He proclaimed the truth. So, despite the disagreement between Paul and Barnabas, when Paul picked Silas, it really was the Lord who picked him. And he picked the right man for the job. So now, there were two teams of men in the field for Christ. So Paul and Silas departed from the city of Antioch, being committed by the brethren there, paradidomi, they surrendered Paul and Silas to the grace of the Lord, to his care, to his direction, and to his will. And while Barnabas and John Mark went west to the island of Cyprus, Paul and Barnabas went north. And we're told as they were traveling through the provinces of Syria and Cilicia, they were strengthening the churches in those cities, sterizo in Greek. They were helping them. They were encouraging them. They were building them up so that they might stand firm in the faith. And then Paul and Silas, we're told, turned west. And they went through the Taurus Mountains by way of the Cilician Gates, a very narrow pass, some 80 miles long, winding its way through those mountains located north of the city of Tarsus, the hometown of Paul. A difficult and a dangerous journey. And so then, it says in Acts chapter 16, verse 1, Paul and Silas came to the city of Derbe. And that was an exciting time. We recall back in Acts chapter 14 how Paul had preached the gospel there, how he had brought the good news of Jesus Christ to the people in that city, and many, we're told, came to salvation. Many followed Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they continued on in the faith. And I am sure that it was a time of great joy for the church when Paul came back there again. But then it was time to leave, so Paul and Silas went 30 miles west of Derbe, to the city of Lystra, where the Lord had done some pretty amazing things the last time that Paul was there. You recall that through Paul, the Lord had healed a man who was lame from birth. And in response to that miracle, the crowd of people in that city wanted to worship Paul and Barnabas as gods. And after they refused that worship, we are told some unbelieving Jews arrived from the city of Pisidian Antioch, a city from which Paul and Barnabas had fled for their lives. And Jews also arrived in Lystra from Iconium, a city where there was a plot to kill them. So together, in Lystra, these Jews manipulated the people. They agitated the people so that they all attacked Paul with stones and rocks and dragged him out of the city, thinking that he was dead. But we're told the believers in Lystra gathered around him, and though he was battered and bruised and bleeding, miraculously, he regained consciousness and got up on his feet. And now, Paul was back in town. Paul was back in Lystra, alive and well. And behold, it says in verse 1, take note of this. There was a certain disciple there in Lystra, a follower of Jesus named Timothy, a young man, perhaps some 25 years old, who was the son of a Jewish woman named Eunice, who was also a believer. But we're told his father was a Greek. He was an unbeliever, and perhaps by this time he had already died. And this man, Timothy, was well spoken of, we're told. Martureo, he had a good testimony for Christ among the brethren there in the church in Lystra, and even as far away as in the city of Iconium, 30 miles away. Timothy was a young man who was above reproach. He was a man of integrity. He was a man who would not shame the name of Jesus. A man who later Paul would call his true child in the faith. Two men who were like-minded. Two men who had the same passion, who had the same love for Christ, who had the same love for his word. A rare and a precious gift from God. So, it's no surprise that we find in verse 3 that Paul wanted, he greatly desired, that this man Timothy would go with him to the work of the Lord. So, just as Silas had replaced Barnabas, so Timothy replaced John Mark in this assignment. And so Paul took him, we are told, and circumcised him. Why? It says because of the Jews who were in that region. For they all knew that his father was a Greek. And if Timothy was to minister in the synagogues, and if he was to reach the Jews for Christ who were there, the only way that he could enter the synagogue is if he was circumcised. So to reach them, Paul made that decision so that it would not get in the way of the work of the Lord. So now, the right team was in place. And while they were passing through the cities of Galatia, we are told, as they traveled from town to town, they were delivering the decrees, the dogma in Greek, the opinions, the inspired declarations which had been decided upon by the apostles and by the elders who were in Jerusalem. Sound counsel for those Gentile believers to observe. The truth that salvation is by grace alone through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. But for the sake of unity, for the sake of love, we should not do anything to cause our brothers and sisters in Christ to stumble. This was the message that they delivered to the churches. And so as Paul and Silas and Timothy sounded the trumpet, as they spread the word of God among the churches along the way, we are told that those believers were being strengthened in the faith, stereo in Greek. They were made firm. They were made strong. They were made solid in their faith, in their walk. And we're told, in addition to that, verse 5 says, they were increasing in number, plethuno in Greek. They were made full and complete. The Lord added to their number, we're told, daily, day by day. And as they sounded the trumpet, the Lord blessed the work of their hands. It is the Lord who gives victory in all of these things. It is the Lord who makes a way for us to speak for Him. Blessing and honor and strength, majesty and glory and power be unto Him, to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.